Maybe you'd turn to Matthew, the 15th chapter. And we want to look at prayer today. And I believe if we start in Matthew 15, verse 21, I'll just read a few verses here and we'll go back and look it over then. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Jesus is going up in the area of Tyre and Sidon. By the way, you know where Tyre and Sidon is on the map? A map of Israel? It's north. It's actually north. It's along the coast, the Mediterranean coast. And it is, what is it called today? Is it Damascus, Syria?
Syria is north of Israel.
Syria is north, but Damascus is north too. Isn't that where Tyre and Sidon is?
Could be Lebanon.
Lebanon. There we go. Yeah, Lebanon. Okay. Anyway, he's up in that area, which is quite a ways from Syria. I mean, it's a goodly walk. I don't know what he was doing up there. Apparently, it sounds like he must have gone up there for the purpose of this woman. And yet the woman comes to him begging him to do something, and he seems to refuse to do it. Okay? Here she comes out, crying unto him, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Have mercy on me, thou son of David. And he's ignoring her. He's just plain ignoring her, not doing anything about it. And I can just see the picture here. Here they are, they're all walking together, and the disciples are walking, and this woman comes along, and she starts crying out. Crying out to him. Have mercy on me, son of David, have mercy on me. And he's just walking along, and he's paying no attention. I don't know, does this sound like God to you? Where he pays no attention to them? And finally, the disciples come along and they said, listen, let's get rid of her. Get rid of her. She's just making a pest of herself. So, you see, this is their attitude.
Yeah.
They observed him, that he's just ignoring her. And so they said, well, let's get rid of her. In fact, I think they had the same attitude when blind Bartimaeus was there, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they went to blind Bartimaeus and said, just cool it down, will you? Just be quiet. He doesn't want to deal with you. And telling the man to cool it, to quiet down, only stirred him up the more and got him going more. So here's this woman, and she just keeps on going, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. And we're talking about prayer now. Remember, we're talking about prayer. I don't know what it is like when you ask God for something. Do you always get an answer right away?
No.
What is it like when you have a need? What is it like when you have a need for healing? You have a very difficult healing situation. You've had it for years. You've been to the doctor. They don't seem to have an answer. And so you go to the Lord, you think, okay, just like that, get the answer. It's like, he's ignoring me. He's ignoring me. But the woman doesn't ignore the Lord. And even the servants of the Lord, oh, here she is again. You know? Man, every time this woman is, she just keeps, I don't know. I don't have the answer. You know, maybe you better go to a specialist. You know, the Lord doesn't seem to be ready to answer you. But the woman doesn't give up. The woman doesn't give up. Finally, the Lord gives her an answer that none of us would like to hear. Like, you know, I came for the children, not the dogs. So how would you like to get an answer like that from the Lord? You know, the healing is for the children, the bread of the children. And by the way, you can come to the Lord and you can say, Lord, the healing is for the children. It's the bread of the children. Why are you not answering me? And to hear, you would never dare say that to somebody. Would you? Would you dare, Larry, would you dare say that to somebody that comes up and asks for healing? And you would say, no, it's not for dogs. It's not for dogs. It's for the children. Get away. I don't have an answer for you. I mean, you're a Canaanite. I came to minister to the Israelites. You're a foreigner. I mean, you're not of the seed of promise. You're of the world. What do you want? What have we got for you?
It's true.
And he gives her that answer. Now, the Lord isn't being mean. He has no animosity. But you know, I'm never ceased to be amazed at the kind of answers that the Lord gives. Have you noticed that as you read the Bible? People ask the Lord a direct question, and it seems he never gives them a direct answer. You know, for instance, you've heard me say it so many times, where this disciple comes up to the Lord and says, Lord, are there few that be saved? And it would seem the easy answer would be, well, yes, there are a few. No, he doesn't say that. He says, strive to enter in at the narrow gate. For many, I say unto you, will desire to enter in and will not be able. That's his answer. So what is the answer? Well, yes, it is yes, but he doesn't just give a simple yes. And so many times I have asked the Lord, Lord, I've got to know. Come on, just give me a yes or a no. What do you want me to do? Come on, I can understand a yes or a no. Why are you so reluctant to give me an answer? And the point is, something about the Lord, if he gives you a quick yes or no answer, that's it. You don't come back. You got your answer, you got what you wanted, you go your way. But to delay giving you an answer, what does that do to you? You still want it, and you still need it. Now, something had got this woman's attention. What was it? It was her daughter. Her daughter was grievously vexed with a devil. She knew what the problem was. I mean, you didn't have to tell this woman, your daughter needs deliverance. I mean, sometimes you would think that somebody would be offended. You'd tell them that, you know, sister, you need deliverance. You don't need to go to another doctor. You need deliverance. You need that devil cast out of you. Well, you know, that's offensive to some people. In fact, there's people that don't even believe that they need deliverance from devils anymore. No, that happened a long time ago. Maybe in Africa, but not over here. No, people are offended at that. But this woman was not offended. She knew what the problem was. She knew what her daughter... And, you know, I don't know that there's a... Is there a better way to get a woman's attention than to touch her daughter? You could probably answer that, couldn't you?
Depends on how you touch her.
Yeah. The daughter needs help.
Right.
And so she's motivated. Mm-hmm. She keeps coming back. Mm-hmm. She doesn't give up. And she gets this answer, well, the healing is for the children, not the dogs.
Right.
And that should be an affront to her. In other words, if you're going to be offended in the Lord, you're going to get offended. And there's a test. Will she be offended? Come on.
No.
Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever been offended?
Mm-hmm.
We'll all put our hand up.
Offended by God.
Offended in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Offended by the things of God. Offended by the word of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we have.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are offended, we're not going to get what we need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe the Lord wants us to come to a place where we cannot and will not be offended.
Blessed is he who is not offended in me.
And so we need to come to that place. Now, this woman apparently was already in that place. I will not be offended. This man has the answer for me. He's the only one that has the answer for me. These disciples don't have an answer. I've been to doctors. I've been to all the gurus. Nobody has an answer. But I know that this son of David has the answer for me. I've heard the stories. I know what's happened down there in Israel. I have heard, and I am so glad that he's up here in our area. He has the answer. He's the only one with the answer. If I don't get an answer from him, my daughter is going straight to hell.
Right. Amen.
Because that devil has got a hold of her. And so she presses in. And she's told that she's among the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fine.
She humbled.
Dogs get crumbs.
That's right.
Dogs get the leftovers from the table. So maybe you don't have any good food for me, but I'll take the crumbs.
Mm-hmm.
Because the crumbs, Jesus, that fall from your table are still sufficient to heal my daughter.
Amen.
I'll take the crumbs.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
And she holds up. And in spite, I mean, this is Matthew, James, John,
mm-hmm.
are saying, buzz off.
Yeah.
Get away.
Yeah.
She's just causing nothing but trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Look, lady, we're on our way somewhere important. Move along. We got important news, you know, important things to do. All right, so she says, he said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, that's true. Nothing wrong with that statement. That's true. And she knew what he meant. She knew that he meant, you're not a children. You're a dog. You're outside. You're unclean. In other words, he's saying to her, you are unclean. Why should I give you the bread of the children? Okay? She says, yet the unclean dogs still eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table.
He liked that answer.
And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it even unto thee as thou wilt. Now, you see, it wasn't just the woman asking, but it was the answer that healed the daughter. You see, if you don't get the word of the Lord, you don't get what the Lord has. It's like, how many times have I read, behold, I give unto you all authority to tread on demons, to do this, to heal, you know. And so many people take this passage and they say, well, it says right here, behold, I give you all authority, therefore I take authority. Now, you can say all you want. If you don't have the authority, you can parrot, you can repeat it, you can stomp your foot, you can clap your hand, you can say, I take authority over you. You know what? The devil is not impressed.
No, he's not.
No, honey, don't play with those. Amen?
I've heard that.
If you don't have the authority, you don't have it.
No, you don't. No.
And if you don't have the word of the Lord telling you that you have it, you don't have it. Now, when you hear the Lord say, you know, I remember the time, and I'll just give you this example. I remember the time that I had need to be healed in one of my shoulder joints. And I had been to the Lord. I had been to the Lord for at least a year, ask Him to heal me. And you remember the story. Finally, He said to me, but seek ye first. And I did. And instantly, I got healed.
Amen.
Well, sometime later, several years later, the pain came back. And I said, oh boy, here we go. Seek ye first, seek ye first. So I'm going to seek, 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 seek. And I'm doing that, and I hear the word of the Lord say to me, take authority. But I don't believe it. Do you know why I didn't believe it? Because during that year that I was trying to get healed, I was taking authority over it. And it didn't do any good.
Uh-huh.
You see?
Yeah.
So I'm assuming, well, that's just a religious exercise. Take authority over it. Take authority over it. I tried it. It didn't work. And the only thing that worked was seek ye first. And that healed me. So this doesn't go on now for a year. This just goes on for a couple of days. And I go upstairs, and I walk past my bed. It wasn't quite bedtime, but it's getting close. And I hear this word, take authority over it. It's a very quiet word, way down inside. Take authority over it. And Janet was still with me, and I went downstairs, and I said, you know, I don't know, but I thought I heard the Lord say, take authority over it. I said, what do you think? Do you think that was the Lord speaking to me, or is it my imagination speaking to me? And she says, well, I don't know. I says, well,
try it.
You know, it might not hurt. Maybe I should take authority over it. What have I got to lose? If I didn't hear the Lord, I didn't hear the Lord, but I thought I heard the Lord. And so, you know, I went upstairs. I said, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over this pain. I cast you out. You have no place. You have no ground in me. And I proclaim healing. Oh, I know it was. It was in a different place. It was in my leg, in my hip joint that I had another one. And so that was Saturday night. Sunday morning, I came here, and we still had these arranged in benches on each side. I don't know. Maybe some of you remember. And I walked in, and I walked up. We had the podium up here in the front. I walked up, and I told everybody what I had done the night before. I said, I have proclaimed, and I have taken authority over the thing. And I limped my way up to the front, walking kind of funny. And I said, I'm taking authority over it in the name of Jesus. I brought a word, and you know what? When I walked back down, it was gone. Now, why do I say that? Because it is the word of the Lord that gives the authority. It is the word of the Lord that gives the healing, that has the power.
Yes.
And it is the word of the Lord that said to this woman, amen, it is the word of the Lord that said to her, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Be it unto you. That's all he had to say. There was nothing of her word that had the power to do it. Remember the man that came to Jesus and he said, Lord, if thou wilt, I can be made whole. So the man is completely dependent on the word of the Lord. If thou wilt, I can be made whole. Now, if the Lord had said nothing, the man would not have been made whole, right? But the Lord said, I will be thou made whole. Do you see what I'm saying? And this is the problem. This is the problem This is the difference between the name and claim it people.
Yeah.
You can find it written in the Bible. The Lord has made provision for your healing. You can find, behold, I give all authority. You can find it written. And you can say, there it is, I am taking it. But you know what? You don't have it until He gives it to you.
It's the anointing.
Yeah.
It's the anointing of giving it to you.
It is the anointing.
And when the Word speaks to you, that's the anointed Word.
It is the Word spoken to you.
Yes.
Not the Word that Matthew wrote, not the Word that Luke wrote. That can give you faith, but you have got to have a personal encounter with the living Word.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
And that's the difference.
Right.
It's not just reading it. It's not, I mean, you've heard me say this before. You can teach a parrot to say, in the name of Jesus. You know, a parrot can say that.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean a thing.
Yeah.
Devil isn't impressed. And you can get people to parrot the same thing like a parrot, and it doesn't mean a thing.
Right.
I don't know. We've encountered devils that are not impressed.
Oh, I have.
They're not impressed. They're not impressed with you taking authority over them until you have the authority. And this is the thing that you've heard me preaching from Revelation chapter 11. And I tell you, I've been on that chapter for a long time, where the Word of the Lord says, "And I will give authority."
Amen. Yes.
I will give authority to my two witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And they will have authority to do this, and they will have authority to do that.
Yeah.
But, you see, they don't have it, and they won't have it until He gives it to them.
Right. Amen.
It's the difference between the Logos Word and the Rhema.
Yeah. And you can change your name to Rhema Word if you want. But if you don't have a Rhema Word, you still don't have a Rhema Word.
Right. Amen.
You know what I mean? You can call yourself anything you want. It doesn't matter what kind of a name you put over your door. It's the Word, the spoken Word of the Lord. And this is I tell you, Brother John, in the Gospels, John had a vision. He had a revelation of who he was. He starts right out, "In the beginning was the Word." Amen. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
What? He knew the Word.
Mm-hmm.
He knew Jesus, the Word. And we have got to have the life of the Word in us.
That's right.
We have got to have a speaking relationship. And just the fact that you have prayed doesn't give you anything until you get the Word. The Word will heal you. And you know what? You've got to... He's going to make you press in. He's not going to give you cheap answers. Oh, when you're newborn, newly, you know, brand new believer, oh yeah, you'll get lots and lots of answers. Just open your mouth and... I mean, answers just fall off of trees. But you know what? When you get a little more mature, they don't come that cheap. You've got to press in. All right, so here's the first... Oh, I got lots of examples. Doesn't look like we're going to get to them all. Go over to Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. And Jesus is talking about... prayer again. Now, I said the word prayer. All right? I can define prayer and say, well, you've just talked to the Lord, you've prayed. But what I'm saying is, you haven't prayed till you got an answer, until He's answered you. You've done the first half of prayer by doing your part of talking, but as far as I'm concerned, prayer is hearing the response. No, for instance, I'm going to have a talk with Luann. I sit down here and I chatter with Luann for a half an hour, and she just looks at me and never says a thing. Now, wait a minute. I'm just using this as an example. And I get up and walk away. And I said, man, I had a good talk with Luann. No, I didn't. I just talked to her. She just, her mouth was sealed shut. She never said a thing. We didn't have a talk. Do you mind if I use you as an example? Okay, you're not offended now.
I know, I'm not
okay,
offended.
Good. Nobody gets offended here anymore. Amen? All right, so here's a widow now, all right? He says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. What's this thing about faint? Well, what's this business about faint when you pray? Well, what does faint mean? Faint means to lose heart. How many of you have ever fainted in your prayers? No, faint doesn't mean you just keel over and you're barely breathing. That isn't what it means. Lose heart. You know, I tell you, some of our prayers are going to take years to answer. Do you believe me?
Yes.
No, I'm talking about when you have prayers. Let's take it, for example, prayers for your kids. It's going to take years.
Yeah.
Why? Because God is he's going to have to do something in their life to answer the prayer that you have been praying. And you cannot give up and tell God you've changed your mind. So in the process of praying for your kids, they get arrested 3 times, you know. They end up in the hospital 4 times, you know, and you're still praying. And they run into one disaster after another. They get into accidents. Say, God, what are you doing? I'm praying for this kid. And it seems like you're doing nothing but disaster for them. Yeah. But the Lord is answering your prayer. And ought not to faint, okay? Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded men. In other words, he didn't respect anybody. He was his own man. He was the boss. He was the kingpin. He had no fear of God. He didn't have any fear of any other man. He was the boss. All right? And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Vindicate me. This man has done me wrong, sir. He's cheated me. He's stole from me. He's violated me. He has, and Your Honor, Mr. Judge, it is your responsibility to look after helpless people like me. This man, Judge, deliver me. Avenge me. Restore unto me what has been robbed and stolen from me. He did it illegally, Your Honor. And the judge doesn't want to hear it. Send her away. I mean, here's another example. Send her away.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm too busy. Oh, come again another day. And he would not. By the way, I don't think you could even get in to see the judge today. You'd have to file briefs, and they'd pile up on some back corner of his desk. I don't think they'd even land on his desk anymore. But, you know, I still believe that they hear what's going on. Even though you can't get there personally, even though your lawyer just keeps filing them, I think these judges still know what's going on. Some little somebody in their office informs them. Probably a secretary. He probably goes to the secretary, what's going on? Well, that woman's been here again. What woman? You know, that widow. Your Honor, this is the 15th time she's been. Oh, man, she's not going to leave us alone, is she? Well, you know, sir, you're going to have to do something about it sooner or later. She doesn't give up. Oh, man, I am so busy. I was hoping she'd just kind of go away. I don't want to deal with that guy. I know that guy. I know he's nothing but trouble. He'll make trouble for me. He'll see to it that I don't get elected the next time around.
Oh, yes. Right.
I mean, whatever. He's got all kinds of answers.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't want to deal with it.
Yeah, judges need to be kept clean.
And besides, there's nothing she can do. She can't make me do it. Well, she doesn't really have enough money to hire a lawyer, but she just keeps coming in here. She drops this little letter every day. Oh, all right. It says, and he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me.
Women can do that.
You say women can do that. You have experience in that, Larry? No, I think there is something very persuasive about a woman. A widow, a helpless woman. I mean, now remember, this woman is not a woman's lib, arrogant, high-profile type of woman. This is a woman that won't give up. And she is helpless, and she has no way of forcing her way. But she is desperate, and she needs to be vindicated of this issue in order for her life to be sustained.
Yes, amen.
This man has robbed everything that this woman has.
Now,
think about your prayer to God now, and think about that it's the devil that's robbed you.
Amen.
And you need to be delivered from it.
Yes.
But you have to, first of all, come to the place where you are aware of your need. Okay? The bride of Christ is also a picture of the widow. The church is also a widow. A widow whose husband has gone away on a long journey. In other words, he died. Christ died. He left. In a sense, all right? There's a sense of this picture. There's another sense that we are also the bride. But these are both pictures of the church. In the present situation, she's a widow, okay? And she needs help. So, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Now, the Lord is making it clear. This man is unjust. He's a natural, unjust man. And yet, because of her continuance, he gives in. Now, he says, and shall not God avenge his own elect? Now, see, God is not an unjust judge. And what Jesus is saying is, even this unjust creature of a judge can be gotten to. You can get to him. He's hard. He's unrighteous. Yet, you can still get to him if you keep pressing. So, would you not be able to get through to a just, merciful God? Would he not avenge his own elect if you come to him? Now, just because you didn't get the first answer doesn't mean he's not going to do it. Okay? He says, shall not God avenge his own elect who cry day and night unto him? Let me just stop the sentence there for a minute. Do you cry day and night to him? Do you? Sometimes you don't. And, I've been thinking about this probably the last several weeks. I started thinking about this while we were in the Philippines. And I thought, I tried to give myself an answer. I thought, are we ready for all that authority that He's going to give us? And I came to the answer, no, I don't think we are. And why? Because we don't cry to Him day and night. We don't press in. We're too comfortable. And you know, the sad thing is I cannot change myself. Only He can change me. And you know, the way He's going to change me is He's going to do something to our circumstances to change us. We're not going to like it. But you know what? It's going to put us in a place where we're going to cry to Him day and night. I suppose if I lived in that 20-block area of Watertown, Massachusetts this week, I don't know. I might have been in a place where I would have been doing a lot more praying.
People get angry.
Maybe that's what we all need, right?
Maybe we will be put in something like that.
I'm fine right where I am.
Yeah, I am too. But you know what? God knows that you're fine.
I'm not in a comfortable place. No. No.
But, now let's finish the sentence. Shall He not avenge His elect?
Yes.
Wait a minute. Let's define elect. Who is the elect?
Jews.
Yeah, the Jews, of course. No, come on. It's the born again believers.
Me.
The bride of Christ.
Amen.
Okay? Will He not avenge us?
He will.
Amen? Cried Him day and night. Well, why did He have to go and add this little thing beyond the comma, though He bear long with them? Well, what's this business about Him bearing long with us? I mean, I like the sentence up until that point. But it seems that He has a problem with us. Even though we cry to Him day and night, He's got a problem with us. Am I being too offensive here? I think He's got a problem. He's bearing with us. In other words, there's something that He wants out of us.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
He's looking for something.
Yes, He is.
In our prayers, mm-hmm. He wants to answer, but He's looking for something from us. He wants change out of us.
Yes. Amen.
And that's the part that we're reluctant to give. Why? Because we are comfortable where we are. And He has to make us uncomfortable to change us.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Now, I like this sentence also, up until that point. I like that. He will avenge them speedily. See, He puts the positive in here. But He also puts the other part in. I won't say the N word. Negative. But He puts it by. He says, yes, He will avenge you speedily. Nevertheless. what does that mean, nevertheless? It means something's going to follow.
Right.
Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth?
Amen.
That's a question. Will He find faith? Are we going to be people of faith? And He wants the answer to be yes. Yes, He will find people. And what is it that makes you have faith?
Tribulation. Testing. Persecution.
You don't, yeah. What is it, Kathy?
The Word of God.
The Word of God, yes. But we have to be tested by the Word of God.
Right.
To have faith.
Yes.
You see, this woman of Canaan that we read before, he said, great is your faith.
Amen.
Now, what made her have faith? It was the desperation of her condition and the knowing that there was only one answer, there was no other way, and knowing that if she missed this opportunity, she was absolutely going to miss it. If she waited till that man went back down the coast, down into Israel again, She was never going to have her answer. Something about her, it's like that woman that touched the hem of his garment. If I miss this moment, I am going to miss everything.
Right.
I am done.
Right.
I am dead. I am dying. I won't last another week. I have to take this moment.
Amen.
Yes. So, amen. Well, but we're not getting very far on this word. Matthew 6. Go back to Matthew. We're talking about prayer. Matthew 6. It's just a little passage here. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites.
Amen.
By the way, who are the hypocrites? Who are they? By the way, is there a hypocrite community?
Yeah.
I mean, they've got a community for everything.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got a homosexual community. They've got an AIDS community. I mean, is there a hypocrite community?
There sure is, but they don't admit it.
They're Washington. Oh, they're Washington. Okay. By the way, you want to know what it says about the hypocrite community? Go over to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, look in verse 51. He's talking about an unfaithful servant, an evil servant. He says, and cut him asunder, that means cut him off, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That sounds like the hypocrite community, doesn't it? It's not going to be a good community.
No, they're not going to be very happy people.
All right. So when you pray, don't join in with the hypocrite community.
No.
What is the definition of hypocrisy?
It's
hypocrite.
Saying something.
Pretending to be something you're not.
Pretending.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And where would this be best expressed? Where would hypocrisy be best expressed?
Being vain.
The R word, religion. Religion is a ripe ground for hypocrisy. So where would the hypocrite community be found? Would probably be found in church.
Yeah.
I mean, the world doesn't have much interest in being a hypocrite. Oh, maybe a few politicians, yeah.
They're boring.
But the rest of the world, I mean, you know, a guy's a sinner. I'm a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's the way I am.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of the attitude of a sinner. He doesn't try to be something that he's not. He knows he's a sinner, and I'm a drinker. I'm a carouser. I'm a this. I'm a that. That's who I am. That's what I like to do. You know, they don't make any bones about it. But church people somehow try to put on something that they're not.
Can I just say one thing? Where this course comes from in the Greek? Is when they had a Greek play, and you know, you ever see them when they
put these masks on, yeah.
And so there's something they're not when they put
right.
that mask on. Behind the mask is a real mask.
Yeah, they would kind of have two masks. One mask was a real sad-looking mask,
right.
And the other was a happy-looking mask.
Right.
And so they'd pull the happy one up, and then they'd put the other one up,
they're
you
actors.
Know. Yeah, they're actors.
They're fake. It's a big fake.
All right, so when you pray, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. By the way, he didn't say if you decide sometime in your life to pray.
Pray always.
He said when you pray. And by the way, you ought to follow this whole chapter down through. Because he said, in the beginning, he says, when you give your alms. He didn't say if sometime in your life you decide it would be a good time to start giving. He said when you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's expected. You should be giving.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that you can carry on a Christian life and never give.
Mm-hmm.
You have to give something.
Mm-hmm.
Something has to take you out of yourself
and
think of others. Think of the need of others. Doesn't matter how desperate your needs are. You need to give. You know what? We're in the Philippines, and these little fellowships. We went out to three or four little fellowships this time. We had lots of time. And after the message was given, it was in their own language. I wasn't sure what the brother was praying. And then they stopped, and all of a sudden everybody came up and they started throwing little things in a little basket. And I know that these people are very desperately poor. But, you know, 40 pesos equals a dollar. And there were people throwing in 50 pesos and 10 pesos and 20 pesos, you know, little gold, not gold, they're coin things, I mean. And they were giving. And, you know, they were being blessed to do so. And I felt cheap to put my 200 pesos in because that's all I had. You know, knowing that it's only worth about $5.
You know, whenever the basket is passed, the principal is there, put something in it.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's just something small.
Well, and
because that gives up the opportunity to be blessed, you know?
And then when we get down to verse 16, it says, and when ye fast. And when? So, in other words, sometime we're not going to make a rule and say, well, you have to do it every year, you know. No, that's teaching for doctrines the commandments of man. Okay? But the Word of God says, when you do this, this is the way to do it. All right, so when you pray, let's get back to prayer. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. And by the way, in each one of these, fasting, he uses the example of hypocrites. Giving alms, he has the example again of hypocrites. What are the hypocrites doing? They're calling attention to themselves. They're saying, look at me. Look how good I am. Look how good I look. It's basically what they're saying. Don't I look great? You know? And this is what they're doing. And, you know, I tell you, brother, with prayer, you don't have to sound a trumpet. All you have to do is open your mouth, and hypocrisy can flow right out of your mouth. You've heard Brother Campbell on this subject. He's telling how he's praying to God in the best King James language that, you know, he could ever conjure up, and the Lord says, what's this?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
So
I can understand you. Just
right.
Talk to me.
Amen.
You know? All right, so when you pray... Oh, it's not mine. Okay. Hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So many times I've heard people pray, and they use prayer as a means of telling the congregation all their problems. And I'm thinking, who are you praying to? Are you praying to us? Or are you praying to God?
Yeah.
And Lord, you know how my dog barked at me yesterday? And Lord, how that man was so mean to me? And Lord, you heard what I said back to him. And Lord, you know that when that letter came yesterday, come on, he knows all that. Pray to God.
Right.
You know, well, what you're doing is informing us of everything that happened during the last week. That is not prayer. That is standing on the street corner and making noise to be seen of man. I mean, that's what it comes across. And I've heard people use prayers as a means of cursing. But it isn't prayer. Anyway, that he says, I say unto you, they have their reward. Now, do you know what that means? If you were to read that in the Amplified Bible, I'm pretty sure it would say it this way. It says, they have their reward in full already, and that's all the reward they're going to get from their prayer. In other words, their reward was, everybody heard me pray. That's it. You got the attention you wanted? That'll be your reward. Wouldn't you rather have the reward that God heard you?
Yes. Amen.
And answered you?
Amen.
But if you just want to draw attention to yourself, your attention that you got will be your reward.
Right.
That'll be it.
Amen.
That's it. You won't get another reward until the next time you do it. But that isn't a very lasting reward, is it?
No.
That isn't a keeper. He says, but when you pray, enter into your closet. What kind of a closet is this? Inner room.
Yes.
In other words, go by yourself.
Yes.
Where you can really pour it out.
Right.
You know, some of the best prayers, and I haven't had these kind in quite a while, some of the best prayers I've had is when I have been very, very desperate.
Yeah.
And I really got down and I really cried. I had a ball of something that just had to come out.
Right, amen.
And it took a long time to get out.
Yeah.
And when I got done, I didn't really care whether God flashed the heavens or not. I knew that I had talked to God.
He heard you.
I knew that He heard me.
Amen.
And I knew whatever answer came was going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Amen.
So go into your closet. And when you have shut the door, see, don't just go in the closet, shut the door too. The world doesn't need to hear you. The world doesn't need to hear you. Okay? They don't need to know. Pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. Now there's the example of the secret thing being brought to the open. Isn't this the kind of secret that you would like to have brought to the open? You know, the Word of God says there's nothing hidden that shall not be revealed.
Right.
So that's a positive thing and that's a negative thing. The positive thing is all your secret prayers are going to be brought to light.
Mm-hmm.
The negative part of that is all your secret sins are also going to be brought to the light if you don't deal with them.
That's right.
See, that works both ways. The Word of God says, nothing that is hidden shall remain hidden, but it'll all be brought to the light.
That's right.
All your secret motives, it's all going to be brought out to the light. Your ambitions. Yeah. Bring it out. Okay? Be not ye therefore like unto them being the hypocrites, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask Him.
Amen.
And then I won't get into the Our Father part of the part of this. You know that. Okay? You know the part about the Our Father prayer? I brought a message on this in the last message we brought at the last little home fellowship where Jesus said, Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. He prayed, Thy kingdom come. You know what? Jesus gets His prayers answered.
Right.
That means the kingdom is going to come.
Praise
the kingdom of God is going to come. Now, all of Jesus' prayers didn't get answered instantly.
Right.
This prayer is going to take a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
Then He prayed that they might be one, as Father, You and I are one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that prayer is still being answered, isn't it?
Yep.
We're still not one. But you know what? If Jesus prayed it, He's going to get His prayer answered.
Amen.
We are going to be one, and the kingdom is going to come.
Amen.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah.
Are you done?
Go ahead.
Give me the first two passages.
Matthew 15, 21 through 28. Luke 18, 1 through 8. Matthew 6, 5 through 8. And then Matthew, let's go now to Matthew 7 while we're here in Matthew. Matthew 7, and we'll finish with 7 through 11. Okay, we're still talking about prayer. Matthew 7. Ask, 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, there's something of our responsibility. Now, this is maybe a different kind of prayer, or maybe it isn't. But there's something that we have a responsibility to do. So I'm just, you know, I can take that other verse. Well, he knows what I have need of. I don't need to bother. Lord, thou knowest.
On your bed.
No. I'm to do something about it. Yes, he knows. But he wants me to ask. And Lord, I need a job. Oh, Lord, I need a job. Oh, Lord, I need a job. What are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Are you knocking on some doors?
Amen.
In other words, I need to knock on some doors.
Right?
Right.
Right.
What else?
I need to seek.
Yes. I need to pick up a newspaper and read the want ad column.
Get out of a door at one time, knock on it. Made out of wood.
I need to seek down. That brother told me about a guy over in the next town that's looking for somebody. Yes, he even gave me a phone number. I need to knock. I need to ask. I need to seek.
Right.
I need to call that number.
Right. Amen.
I need to tell the guy that I'm a great candidate.
Yep.
For the job.
I gotta send in my.
I need to show him that I have the ability.
My proposal.
No, in other words, I need to do something about it.
Amen.
Not just say, "Well, the Lord knoweth I have need of these things."
Right.
See, there's two sides of the coin. There's the faith side. And there's the me getting out and walking it outside.
Mm-hmm.
Two sides of this thing, isn't there?
Yeah.
Well, I've asked, but what have you done? Have you been out? Well, no, I've been home, for the last 3 months. I've been asking, you know. I'm telling the Lord about it. He knows I need it. Well, come on, you're not going to get it until you get out of your house.
Right.
Do you see the practical side?
Amen.
You know, there's a practical Christianity. People don't preach the practical Christianity side of it. So, I like this. All right, now let's go on here. I'll just finish this. For everyone that asketh, receiveth.
Amen.
And he that seeketh, findeth. And he that knocketh, it shall be opened. See, in other words, we need doors opened unto us.
Yeah.
Well, the newspaper said there's no jobs. But Lord, there's a door that needs to be opened. And so I'm asking for an open door. Well, no, they said they aren't seeing anybody. You know, you can't go down there. They're not taking applications. Well, I'm going to go. And I'm going to ask for a door to be opened. You know, come on. I believe if you have that kind of faith, you can call it confidence, you can call it any name you want, that you'll get a door opened unto you. I've seen doors opened that people said that they couldn't be opened.
Mm-hmm.
But they get opened.
Amen.
Because God knows how to open doors.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I open and no man closes. I close and no man opens. God is in charge of doors. Amen? And you have to ask Him. Now He gives an example. I like these examples. He says, or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will give him a stone? He's talking about in the family.
Right.
Maybe not if my son asks you, but if your son asks you, you're more liberal with your son than with somebody else's son, aren't you? I mean, your son is more apt to touch a spot in you. Okay? Or he asks a fish, will you give him a serpent? Right? If ye then, being evil... What? Do you hear what the Lord said? He's saying you're like that unrighteous judge. In other words, you're not God. You're carnal human beings. If you then, being a carnal human being... The Lord might even say evil. You had an evil nature. Right? If you're that way, and you give good gifts unto your children, being the nature that you are, how much more will your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, and who isn't evil, by the way, there's not an evil side anywhere in him. He is nothing but good. Your Father in heaven, your spiritual Father, will give good gifts to them that ask him. And you know, in one place he said, this almost the same passage, and he says, how much more will he give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? So, in other words, there's something worthy of asking the Father. It isn't just asking God, oh, I need a Mercedes, but I'd settle for a Lamborghini. No, that isn't the kind of, Lord, I need the Holy Spirit. I just need the Holy Spirit in my life. I need the fullness. Oh God, I need to hear your voice. That's the kind of prayer. Not that I need some riches. Well, praise the Lord. You know, I got a whole lot more. Maybe we can do more another time. Amen? Praise the Lord.